Lord, but you're able, my God, to touch and to do a work, Lord, that we desperately need. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, God. Well, I appreciate the songs service. I appreciate the worship service. Brother Brown, I appreciate your song. I want you to know that there's a few of them around this, Brother Brown, Brother Evans, a couple of others around this place, that when you look at our heads, you're looking at the perfect illustration of what heaven's going to be like. Because there'll be no party there. There'll be no party there. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I'll turn your attention to the book of Jude. Some people didn't get my joke. That's all right. The book of Jude. You got it, didn't you, Brother
Watson? I got it.
All right. The book of Jude, chapter 1. You'll stand for the reading of the word of the Lord through three verses and let you be seated. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you to the common salvation, it was needed for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Brother Watson, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we thank you today, God, for the service, Lord. God, for the reading of your word. And now we ask you, Lord, anoint the servant of God, Lord, to minister to the hearts, be sensitive, God, to hear your words, God.
Help this congregation to receive
your praise and glory and honor.
Praise
the name of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name, you may be seated. The Lord has given me a powerful word of the Lord today to you, if you can receive it. I said the word of the Lord has come to me today in my time of devotion to God and given me a powerful word for you today. If we can but receive it, we can see the demonstrative power of God work in this house. Now, I know that I've heard the message from God. And one reason that I know that I've heard the message from the Lord is when Brother Watson was up here, he made the statement that I believe that this place could be full by the end of the year. And the response was very telling. Son, you are on the message. You need to preach this as hard as you know how to preach it. You need to declare this as hard as I have given it to you. So therefore, I'm going to preach to you on this topic. Faith priority. Faith priority. And the Bible says that we, in verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needed for me to write unto you and to exhort you and to you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And I have come to this pulpit to declare to you that it is ever more true what was spoken in this verse of Scripture, that you and I are to contend. Hallelujah. We're going to have to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And if you and I can get the right mindset today and understand that faith is so crucial, it's so crucial in this hour.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that it is not enough. I think sometimes when we read that Scripture, when we read this, we think just doctrine. We think if I can somehow give you this next generation the doctrine that that's adequate. No, my friend. Doctrine is a part of the whole, but the Bible says the faith that was once delivered to the saints, there is a faith that is supposed to resonate. There is a faith that is supposed to be exhibited. There is a faith that is supposed to be lived out. There is a faith that it has to be a home in this church. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord has sent me to this pulpit to declare that we must take a step up in faith. Our faith is not where it needs to be.
Come on, preach it!
possessors of this faith.
Amen.
Lord, we have a responsibility to our generation. This generation must not know a church that is weakened. This church, but this doctrine, not only doctrine, but this lifestyle, this faith that we live is supposed to be something that was handed down to us. It was entrusted into our possession.
Yes.
And I fear that we don't value enough what we have. It's time for us to value and appreciate the faith that was once delivered to the saints and to live that life of faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Just because, I want you to notice what was said here. Because just because you have rested faith, let's continue on. Beloved, I gave all diligence to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I lost the verse of scripture I had originally, but that's okay. It still fits what I'm trying to say. And that is that just because that we have resident faith does not mean that it is active. The Bible talks about that we are to stir up the gift that came with us on the laying on of hands. That means he's talking to people that have faith.
Amen.
But he's saying you got to stir up the gift. The Word of God says that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Hallelujah. And I've had lots of conversations and I've heard lots of people talk. And today the most common thing that people want to talk about is they want to talk about the end times. They want to project what's going to happen. They go and give you their thoughts and this is what we believe is going to line up. And the truth of the matter is they may be very well on the beam. They might be absolutely 100% accurate. But I'm here to tell you today that you've got to get your priorities straight. You've got to get your priorities right. Because here's the thing. What good is it if we are brilliant in understanding the end times and we are not ready for the end times? The Bible said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's not coming back for a church that is not full of faith. He's coming back for a church, Brother Brown, that's full of faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got ministries out there that 95% of what they preach is end times, and I'm not against it. I've learned some things from it. I've learned some things in the last two years. We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be gaining knowledge. But I'm here to tell you that 95% of their ministry is about the end times. And the problem is that they don't have their priorities right. Because if your priority's right, you're going to understand that the most important thing is not necessarily knowing the next little thing that's going to happen. Your priority is to have faith. Your priority is to have faith. Your priority is to be living in faith. Because Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? The most important thing that you and I can do is to get into that book and to get into our prayer closet and make sure that our life is full of faith.
Amen.
I've got to measure myself, Brother Watson, by those that have been before me in the book of Acts and the things that they did. And if they don't measure up to what I'm looking at in my own life, I've got a challenge to say, hey, Lord, you delivered to me. It was put in my hands. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The emphasis on the last days should be getting ourselves full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Now, some of you don't believe what I'm preaching, but it's the truth. And I can easily prove to you that it is absolutely 100% the truth. You better hear this preacher today.
It is written.
Amen.
It is written.
Because you know what I'm telling you is the truth. We could call right now. We could say, hey, we're going to teach on the end times. We're going to teach on Bible prophecy in the end times. And I promise you, if you spread it out enough, if you advertised it enough, Brother Evans, this house would be full.
Yeah.
More than likely. Or close to. But Brother Watson, if you said this, we really feel like we're near the coming of the Lord. And what we need is we need to have an all-night prayer meeting. And what we need, or if you said we're going to take 3 days and we're going to dedicate it to nothing but prayer. And we're going to get on our face before God. We're going to make sure that we are the apostolic ministry that we're supposed to be. And I feel like the number one thing we can do is get everybody in prayer. Good luck getting about 20 people in here.
Amen.
That'd be a good number, wouldn't it? That'd be a good number. If you call, all these churches. Now you know we got 4 or 5 here at least or so.
Yeah, we do.
We're gaining. We're getting better. It's getting better. But my Lord, don't you gonna sit there and tell me that our priorities are not messed up? We can be mesmerized by what the end times say and trying to figure out prophecies, but we're not getting ourselves ready for His soon coming. And He said to the Son of Man coming, shall we find faith? What are we really about? Are we about things that we're supposed to be about?
Grace.
You see, God, whether you want to believe it or not, has priorities. God has priorities.
Right.
And faith is something that the Bible said it's impossible to please Him without faith. What am I saying? We're not seeing nowhere near what we need to be saying. We need to be seeing around here. We're not experiencing. I put this on me. I'm not just putting this on you. I put this on me. Then we don't see nowhere near what we ought to see. We ought to be full of faith. It ought to be coming out of our mouth. The promises, the precious promises of God. We need to be declaring them. We need to be embracing them. We need to be seeing things happen that we know we're supposed to see happen. And we can sit here and say, oh, we're fine, all we want to. But I'm here to declare to you that the Bible says differently. When we put the scale up and we say, where were we really? And I just put a scale up in front of you. I just told you the truth. And you know I told you the truth. That if living in this day, what we should be doing more than anything is dedicated to prayer, dedicated to fasting, dedicated to ministry, dedicated to the Word of God, dedicated to the things that are first priority in the mind of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. St. Matthew, I'm going to prove to you that God has priorities.
Uh-huh.
Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith.
Yes.
And these ought ye to have done, and not left the other undone. In other words, there's a priority list with God.
Right.
Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and you swallow a camel.
Amen.
Come on, hear me today. He said, you strain at a gnat, but you swallow the camel. It's time to get our priorities in order.
Right.
It's time to say, Jesus, I've got to have you in my life. I've got to be functioning in faith. I've got to be functioning in faith. Brother Watson, we'll never see what you declare in this pulpit if we don't get what I'm preaching today. Lord, I want my faith to be enlarged.
Amen.
Brother Watson, one thing I figured out. I mean, I've figured out a lot. But I figured out this much. A lot of our problem is we've not learned to push back and have resistance against the enemy's lies. Did you know that the reason why people go to work out? You know what they do when they go work out? They go and they pump iron, and what they are coming up against is resistance. And that resistance builds muscle. That resistance builds power in their body. And it's the same principle in us. Because I'm here to tell you, when you start doing this, you are going to feel resistance. But the good news is, Brother Brown, when you feel resistance, just keep on saying, Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I'm dedicated more today, more tomorrow. I'm through with the past and the failures of the past. I might feel resistance, but I'm going to keep on pushing on. I'm going to feel strength in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's a proven fact that when you don't work out in your muscles, they become atrophy. I'm here to tell you that too many are in churches, not just this church, but in many churches, their muscles are atrophy. Their faith is atrophy because they're not using it enough.
Right. Yeah.
And the Bible says we're to stir up the gifts. Come on, stay with me. Stir up the gifts.
Yeah.
You see, we're consumed with ideologies about end time, and we're not consumed enough about the things that are needed that are spiritually powerful in the church.
Amen.
What we need is we need the divine flow of the Holy Ghost and the anointing that what we have when we come together, we get an interruption of the Word by the Spirit.
Amen.
Come on now. I said we get a divine and so the Bible says that we have all of these gifts. Yeah. Come on now.
Right.
All of these gifts that we have. Why? To speak to us in a supernatural way. I thank God for the pulpit. We've got a wonderful ministry in our pastor. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't enough. We need the divine flow of the Holy Ghost. We need God to interrupt our services divinely. We need the Spirit of the Lord to move in our midst like we've never seen it before. You see, this is the faith, Brother Watson, that was once delivered to the church. Not just doctrine. This is the faith that was once delivered to the church.
Amen.
They had church a lot of times when going home. They didn't come to church with going home on their mind. They went home with heaven on their mind. I said they went home with heaven on my mind. They walked in with me a little bit down. But when they walked in with another step. They walked in with a stride of faith that said, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I ask of faith. And it just didn't come only by teaching the Word. It came by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I haven't got to my message yet, but I'm getting there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. While everybody's worried, the moment of the word of the day is what's coming next, and to be concerned. And our conversations are dominated by what might be happening next. Come on, I'm guilty of always looking at my phone is my computer. I always want to hear what somebody else is saying, what somebody else has thought of, what somebody else's prediction. And the Lord told me, you just need to get in me. You just need to get in me. And you can forget that because some of them are going to hit it and some of them are going to be 1,000 miles off. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus' crucial question is, what is he going to find when he comes back? Because if what he finds in us is not faith, then what we've done is we've spent all our time and energies to try to understand something we're not even ready for. Gentlemen of the jury, am I presenting to you evidence today? We are going to have to raise our level of faith. But the good news is, I've got something, I've come armed with something to help you. If you say, Brother Marshall, I see it, I know it, I know it, I recognize it. We do have to come up a little bit, but I'm struggling a little bit. But by faith, I'm going to try to get a hold of what you're preaching. By faith, I'm going to try to grasp a hold of this, because I know what you're telling me is the truth. In my spirit, in my soul, I know you're telling me that my spirit is saying, hey, it's time to have faith like we've never had faith.
Right.
You see, Paul told Timothy about, here's how you can recognize faith. Faith isn't something that's guessed at. It shows itself. It demonstrates itself. It displays it. Paul, in writing to Timothy, talked about his mother and his grandmother and about their faith. Well, we know they're not preachers, or we don't surmise they are by our understanding of doctrine. So how did he know that these women were full of faith and that their faith affected his faith? How did he know it? Something had to show up. Now, we're not given to know what it is, but there was something in those women's lives that said, God has ever been as great as He's supposed to be, and who we know that He is. Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So they had great faith, and it was demonstrated in their life. I gotta believe that their faith was demonstrated by the fact that they had supernatural power working in their life. You say, well, they weren't preachers. You don't have to be a preacher to have a supernatural working in your life. Oh, my friend, you can have angels flying in your living room. If Cornelius could have what he had without the Holy Ghost, what do you think we should be having with the Holy Ghost? Praise God. I don't want to hold truth in unrighteousness. You hear me? I do not want to hold truth in unrighteousness. And the Bible warns against holding truth in unrighteousness. God is not going to judge it easily. If we're going to hold the truth, we have a responsibility. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We must give them, come on now, we must give them the privilege and the benefit of what was given to us. Mr. Randall, we were given this a long time ago. They give us a demonstration of the supernatural. It's like those that run the race, you know, you see those with the baton, they pass it off to the baton, to the next runner. And we're that runner in the last generation. And the question Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Are you and I carrying the same thing that was behind us, that was given to us when this thing started out? Praise God. St. Luke chapter 18. As you turn there, Paul warned about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are many enemies of faith, but the greatest one is our lack of understanding. So with that, I turn you to the book of St. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Here's part of the problem. I just told you a few minutes ago, we get a different response if we call an all-night prayer meeting, or if we did something that maybe caused some kind of prayer chain, or if we at least got together and prayed in some fashion or form. I'm talking about every church, not just this church. We can have a different response. But did you hear what the words that I just read? I just read to you, he said this, and shall not God avenge his own which have cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, you look at this scripture, and I'm sure you've thought about it just like I have. You look at this scripture and you go, my Lord, there's something I don't get here. This is a clear contradiction in terms. Lord, you just said, though you bear long with them, yet you said you're going to avenge them speedily. It seems to me, Brother Brown, a contradiction. Which one is it? Is he bearing long with us, or is he avenging us speedily? And that's where we've got to get to a place of understanding. There are times that, and what attacks our faith many times is because sometimes when we pray, we don't see what we want to see because the Lord is bearing long with us. He's waiting patiently. He chooses not to answer. And in our times of seeing things not happen, it attacks our mentality. Because here's the problem, Sister Taylor. He is not like us. He is eternal, but we are not eternal. We are bound by time. And we start looking at the watch. We start looking at the clock. We start looking at things. And we start saying within ourselves, hey, this is not working. This is not happening. What is going on? I'm praying for it. I'm believing God for it. But I'm just not seeing it. But yet the Bible says he will avenge them speedily. The answer to the question is, yes, he bears long with us. But when he, in his eternal time, sets forth and makes up in his mind, I am going to do this, then it comes very quickly to us. It comes in a moment of time. He does it speedily. He does it in a way we looked around and we said, my God, I don't even know how this happened. Where did this happen? Because he did it speedily in his time. You see, his time frame is different from ours.
Right.
But our problem is, we are not eternal. To him, the Bible says, one day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day.
Right.
To God, when we prayed about it, and we prayed about it for 20 years, it's like God, to him, is like 5 minutes ago. He answered in his time. But he said that he would bear long with us. Sometimes it doesn't come. It's that gap of time that bothers our faith. We don't see what we're praying for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. While, come on now, you got to get with me on this. Get to the crucial part of the message. While we don't see what we want to see, the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see that God is trying to get through to us today. Hallelujah. It's the evidence of things we don't see. But the gap bothers our spirit. It bothers our mind. But if we can see through the eyes of faith, that which is invisible. If we can make this miracle visible before it actually comes to fruition, it changes our mentality. It changes our faith. It causes our faith to rise up and say, Lord, I see it. I believe it. There have been so many countless people that faced destitute, horrifying times in their life. And what they did is they merely to get what they wanted, they simply had to see it by faith until the time would come that it would become a reality. And so I'm here to preach to you the Lord, what the Lord gave me today, which excites my soul. I'm now to my message. I'm now to where I want to preach. Because I'm here to tell you that the Lord has given me something. And that is a visual aid to help us today to begin to have the kind of faith that we need to have. I said it's time to have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I refuse to believe that it cannot be. I refuse to believe this church cannot be full. I refuse to believe that we cannot see the deaf ears unstopped. I refuse to believe we cannot see the blind eyes open. It's happening in other places, and I refuse to believe that it cannot happen here. But something I've got to have. I've got to be able to get a hold of something to see this faith come into fruition. So I have brought me two witnesses today. Sister Taylor, you two, would you please come be my two witnesses? Won't you sit up here? I brought two witnesses today. You see, visualization is so important. So with the help of the Lord and their help, I want to help you in your faith today. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18 and 19. Says this. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Everybody say, lay hold. Lay hold. Say it again. Lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil. Hallelujah. The Bible says the hope that is set before us. It says that we have an anchor of the soul. Amen. There are many precious promises in the Word of God. But if we would get honest, if we would get real, in the midst of all of these great, exceeding, and precious promises, there are times that we go through the darkness of the soul. There are times that we go through this time that I just preached about, where God has not yet done what He wants to do, where God is asleep and sometimes silent, and things are not working kind of like we really are praying for and believing God for. But in the midst of that, it occurred to me, the Lord gave me a visualization of where we are and what we need. We need, as this verse of Scripture says, to grab hold. We need to lay hold on the promises of God.
Right.
And all these promises that God has given are so powerful. I give Brother Watson a list of the powerful promises of God. But again, if we're honest, there are times that we struggle and to struggle in our faith to believe God for that promise, even though we know it's true, even though we know it's the Word of God, we need something to get to grab a hold to. We need something to lay our hand on. And it hit me. And it's found in this verse of Scripture. Because this verse of Scripture talks about an anchor. And what we need is we need an anchor of faith that is not movable. You see, the anchor of the soul is not movable. You just don't move the anchor. When the winds blow and the winds howl and the winds are going on, the anchor still holds. The anchor still holds. And to understand this, you've got to get this, that the Bible said that it is impossible for God to lie. Come on, say it with me. It's impossible for God to lie. That is your anchor. That is your anchor point. When things happen in your life and you go through the darkness of the soul and things are not going well, you turn around to that scripture and you say it is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It's impossible for God to lie.
Hallelujah. Thanks for witness number one to say the truth. It's impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't have, I got an anchor rope with me. It's not the usual anchor rope, because if you know anything about an anchor rope, most anchor ropes are a lot longer. This is a different type of anchor. But I want to use it today for a visualization. Because you cannot have an anchor and have any value, brother Evans, in an anchor if it doesn't have a rope.
Right.
The rope secures you to it. Hold that. Brother Evans, come up here. Come up here, Brother Evans. Brother Watson is going to read that first. That first verse for us. You got a microphone? Brother Evans, the Bible says to lay hold. Lay hold. Lay hold. When you're in that dark night and the devil says, you're just going to have to deal with what I'm about to do. That's when you grab a hold of the anchor of the soul. Where God says this.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul.
That's not the verse of Scripture that's number one on the list.
Okay. That by two immutable things.
Not that one either.
God is at 19.
No, not that. Here, on the scriptures. What I've got on here is Deuteronomy 31:6. I'm sorry, I should scratch that one out. I'm sorry. My bad.
Let me go back.
Deuteronomy 31:6.
That he should.
Christian life. Just live our Christian life. Let God be true. And every man a what? Every man a liar, but God be true. Just leave it there. Next scripture, Brother Watson. Sister Donna, come here. Read that second scripture.
Deuteronomy?
Yes.
Thank you.
At Deuteronomy. Hold on before you grab it. Hold on. Somebody, and no matter what you did, it didn't work. But I'm here to tell you, the promises are true and yea and amen. If you go forth weeping, my Bible tells me that God is not a man that he should lie. But you got to lay hold to the promise. You got to, come on, grab it. You got to lay hold to the promises of God. There's an anchor to your soul. When you're told to witness and be a witness, and God has called us all to be his witnesses, his faithful witnesses. But he said, if you will doubtless, you will doubtless come again. If you go forth bearing precious seed and weeping and crying. Nobody likes to cry and weep. But Brother Brown, you've got a hold of something. You've got a hold of a promise. And the promise is God that cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Thank you, Brother Brown. Praise God. Next scripture. Sister Crabtree, come here, please.
Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
You've got to understand, this is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Word of God. Because the Bible says, if you just keep on, if you just keep on when you don't feel like keeping on, if you lay a hold of this promise and believe it and understand that it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. God is not a man that he would lie. God is not a man that he would lie to you. He will be true to his word. He will be true to his word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, let her reap, oh God. Hallelujah. Let her be faithful, oh God, with the word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Come here, sister. Come here, come here. Praise God. What's the next verse?
Job 23:8-10.
Say it loud for us.
Job 8:23:8-10.
Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And he hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
The Bible says sometimes you don't know where God is. You can't find him. You can't recognize him. It seems like when you go to pray, you can't find him. Where are you going to look for an answer in the darkness of the soul? Where are you going to find your answers when it seems to not be able to be found? Somewhere, Sister Mary, you're going to have to lay hold. But if you lay hold to this promise says that when I come forth, when I come out of my trouble, when I come out of my trial, when I come out of my misery, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. But you've got to lay hold. The Bible says you have to lay hold. Lay hold to the promise. Lay hold to the promise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray in her life that she would come forth in gold out of the midst of her trials and her tests and her circumstances, oh God. Let her come forth, oh God, as gold. Let her hold fast, oh Lord, to the word of God. For Lord, you are not a man that you should lie. Come on, Sister Taylor, speak it for me. God is not a man. Say it so loud as you can.
God is not a man
that he should lie. Hallelujah, God. It's not a man that he should lie. I'm going to tell you, if our faith ever gets to where it needs to be, we're going to be rejoicing all over this church. There's no way that hell be able to stop us. We're going to be rejoicing if we ever get it understand that God cannot lie.
Hallelujah.
It's a promise. I'm reading to you scriptures, or having read to you scriptures, declaring to you, get it, Sister Taylor, the word of God. Say it again.
God is not a man that he should lie.
Amen. Said what? We have two witnesses saying the same thing.
It's impossible for God to
it's
lie.
It's impossible for God to lie. What's the next scripture?
Philippians 1:6.
Sister, come up here, please.
Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you Hallelujah.
I'm going to read it again. I wanted to hear it well. I wanted to hear it well. Read it again.
Praise the Lord. Be confident of this very thing.
Be confident of this very thing.
That he which has begun a good work in you.
That he which has begun a good work in you is the promise of God.
Until the day of Jesus.
Until the day of Jesus Christ will do what?
Perform.
He will perform it. He will perform it. If you can get a hold of this and know that, hey, I'm going to ask you a question, an honest question. Have you ever had something in your life that said you made a mistake on this? You needed the grace of God. The Bible says that he will do this for you. Read it again.
Be confident of this
one thing.
He which has begun
a good work in you. He will.
Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to all those far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Matthew, you've been praying for the Holy Ghost for a while, faithfully seeking God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I want you to read that scripture
yes.
last.
Yes.
I want the church to believe God with me right now. Come on, you want to believe God with me right now?
Repent.
Hallelujah.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
I'm preaching and trying to give you an anchor point today. Because if you can grasp this anchor point, you have an anchor of the soul. Acts chapter 12 says this. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 12 says in verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined on the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he said unto them, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went out and he followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by an angel, but thought that he saw a vision. Even Peter questioned. He was struggling with his own unbelief. Hallelujah. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, you see, it took a while for Peter to come to himself and recognize and realize that the miracle was happening. And said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and of all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname Mark, were many gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told them that Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.'" But she constantly affirmed. Here's the situation. Here they are. Here's Peter at the door. Peter comes to the door. Hallelujah. And here he comes, Peter, to the door. And he's trying to get in the door to show them that the Lord had worked a great miracle. Hallelujah. And when Rhoda goes in, she says, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And they looked at her and said, "You are mad. You are mad." Let me tell you something. Just because you pray doesn't mean your faith is where it needs to be. Come on now. I'm talking about the church. We're not talking about the church down the street. We're not talking about a Baptist church. We're not talking about a Presbyterian church. We're talking about the church of the living God was praying, and they were trying to believe God for a miracle. And when the miracle come knocking on their door, they said, "You are out of your mind." I wish some of you could come up here and try to preach. Because some of you look at me like I'm out of my mind. But I am here to tell you that the key to it all is found in Rhoda. It's found in Rhoda. You know why? Because the Bible said this. The Bible said, "But she constantly affirmed that it was even so."
It don't matter how many times you tell me we're not going to have a move of God. I'm going to keep telling you Peter's at the door. All I need is one person. Come on, I got to have a witness in the house. I just need one person to constantly affirm and say, "I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe." Peter's at the door. Miracles are at the door. People being baptized in Jesus' name, Brother Watson, is at the door. People being filled with the Holy Ghost. I just need one person to constantly affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it.
For the ones, if we really get this, what I'm trying to preach today, we tear this place out for God. People say, what's going on in that little church on that hill? I ain't never heard so many such racket in all of my life. It's because we're not there yet, folks. But I'm preaching you the truth. I'm preaching you not my opinion. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. If I got somebody in the house that's willing to say, I'll be a Rhoda, I'm going to constantly affirm. Every time I come to the house, I'm going to come to the house of God. I'm going to lift my hands and my praise is going to affirm. My giving is going to affirm. My worship is going to affirm. My giving to God and my praise and adoration. Hallelujah. It's going to affirm it. My prayers are going to affirm it. Let me tell you something. We really underestimate what we have in God and in the Holy Ghost. We're looking about the story, thinking about the story in the Bible. The Shunammite woman was called great. You know, I wish to God that we would get the attitude. Because some people say, well, I'm not the preacher. And I, Brother Watson, there's so many preachers out preaching me by a thousand miles. But I said in the Holy Ghost, and I said in my spirit, I won't let nobody outpray me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray with vision. I'm going to pray with anointing. I'm going to pray with power. I'm going to pray with dedication. Let me tell you something. If I can have that mentality, you can too. I said, if I can get that mentality, you can too. You can say there might be a lot of things that I cannot do for God. But when you come into this house and you're going to out-worship me, you better have your shoes on, honey. You better be ready to go. Because I'm going to worship Him and magnify Him. Praise God. And when it comes time to pray, I'm not going to be just halfway interested, halfway in and halfway out. But I'm going to shake the foundations of hell. Because there might be a lot of things that I cannot do. But there's one thing I can do if I'm of a mind to do it. I can pray. I know you can pray. I know you can pray. I know you can pray. And shake the foundation of hell if you're willing to do it. The question is, do you value what you can do? Because here's the thing. If we don't value what we can do, we're going to be like that person that had the one talent. We had something we could do. But we let the intimidation factor. We let the intimidation factor. Other people aren't done. I'm going to see so out of place for the Watson. If I knew what that preacher said, and I come in this house, and I got my hands are up, and I feel the Holy Ghost, and I start acting on it, I'm going to be out of place. So, you better lose that intimidation. Or you're going to be like that one person with the one gift that you could have done something significant for God, but you just didn't do it. Listen to me, folks. The Lord calls me to preach this message. Because He knows our faith has got to rise. And no matter what we believe about end times, if our faith doesn't rise to the occasion, when the Son of Man comes, would you say, will He find faith on me? I want Him to find faith in me. Sometimes I preach and I feel I did so terrible and so horrible. But I want to be faithful to God. I want to say things that sometimes don't make me popular. But I said, Lord, I just want to be used of You. And if it causes people to not like me, they just have to not like me. Because I want to please You. There's plenty of men pleasers in the world. And the apostolic ranks are full of men pleasers, worried about what somebody's going to say. We better lose that mentality. We better regard God's opinion 1,000 more times than we regard men. We're not going to stand before other men. We're going to stand before the great Creator and give an account. What I'm preaching to you is faith is our priority. Faith is our priority. There's a lot of things we're interested in, and we're not trying to diminish talking about end time. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's not faith that is our number one thing that we're focused on, we're going to miss God. We're going to miss God. Faith and the building of faith. The Bible says to provoke one another to good works. Well, how do you see good works? People that's reaching out to other people. People that's got their life devoted. If you see somebody that's trying to do that, don't be the wet rag. Don't be the wet towel to put a damper on their soul. Don't treat them like, oh, aren't you special because you're trying to be spiritual. Don't treat nobody like that.
Amen.
The Bible says to provoke them to good works. Try to help push them in the direction, Brother Daniel, will be more that way. Not this. Can we come around the front? We'll just stand around the front and pray a Bible closing prayer. I really would like for us to grab somebody by the hand. I would like for us to spend at least a few minutes here in prayer together. Got a hold of the person that you're holding, their hand, can be a very important key in this church. I see the person that you're holding, their hand, can be a very important key in this church. Brother Emmett, you have no idea what Brother Daniel can do for God. You're holding the hands of a man that can have great impact. You're holding on to anything that have a clue. You don't know what you can do. His life. This young man right here with a hunger for God. You don't have a clue.
We've yet to see the way that you can use us. We've yet to see. Speak to her, oh God. Help her to stir up the gift. Let her stir up the gift, Lord Jesus. This is within her today, oh God. Let us stir up the gift, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let the gift be stirred up within us, oh God. You're not a man, oh God, that you can lie. But stir up the gift that is within me. Stir up the gift that is within me. Stir up the gift that is within me, Lord. Stir up the gift that is within Sister Crabtree, Lord. Stir up the gift today. Stir up the gift, Lord. Let faith arise. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let the power of God resonate in her. Let the power of God resonate in Jesus' name, my sister. Oh God, let the word of God come powerfully to you. Let the word of God encourage you. In the midst of your trial, He knows what you're going through. But if you can hold on to the rope that you had as the anchor, if you can grab the hold of the rope and believe God, that God is not man, that He should lie. The promises of God are yea and amen. Oh, Sister Watson, you've been such a pillar of faithfulness to God. Such a pillar of faithfulness. But we need your gift to be heard. We've never done before. We need the gift of the operation of the Spirit. We need you to operate in faith like never before. We need you to be your very best for God in this last hour. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray right now. Here you are. God has given you age. God has given you gifts. God has given you great faith. Jesus, that that gift of power would be served beyond measure today. That your power would be displayed in her life. Oh God, let her fully grab a hold. Let her fully grab a hold of that rope. That anchor rope, oh God. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray.
Without seeing a day of daylight. put their ship, they put their boats, put the marsh over the side, and let them go. Because they knew that men were going to want to jump at those boats on the side. And if they did, they would lose their life. But Paul said, there's an angel of the Lord that stood with me this night. And he said, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship, but stay in the boat. I perceive that no harm is going to come to anybody that stays in the boat. The boat, they stayed with the boat. Some piece of the boat broke off, Brother Daniel, and some went to shore on pieces of the boat. Some swam to shore. But when they got to shore, and they treated them very well, and then Paul went to build a fire. When he built a fire, a snake jumped out of the fire and grabbed him by the hand. They said, this man's a devil. This man ain't of God. So when they didn't see him die, Paul shook it off into the fire. And now they were saying he was a god. Amen. But can I tell you, we've got a God that we can depend on today. And he's a God that he cannot lie, nor a God that he should ever have to repent. Amen. But God did repent. You know that? God did repent. He repented that he ever made man. He repented that he had ever made man. But thank God he held on to us in the middle of our storms. Amen. We've been in storms, we've been in situations, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Somebody said, you've been hungry. I said, only because I wanted to be. Not because I had to be hungry. God always supplied. Amen. You know why? Because he's a God that cannot lie, nor a God that he should repent. Amen. Thank you, Brother Marsh, for that great message. We encourage you Tuesday night at prayer meeting. Amen. We've had people to get the Holy Ghost on prayer meeting. Amen.
Yes. So, praise God.
I'm just looking. Praise God. I'm just looking.
Anything can happen.
I'm sorry. Yes, Sister Crabtree. Yes. Amen. I told y'all I'd forget. Where's the card at? Oh, they ain't one yet. We'll get you one. A happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary to you. Thank you.